Welcome to Straight Talk with Kathy, your go-to source for health and wellness discussions from one of our country's leading motivational speakers, Kathy Robinson Pickett. And now, without further delay, here's Straight Talk with Kathy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's Straight Talk with Kathy. I'm your host, Kathy Robinson Pickett, and I'm a woman with something to say. And this week, we're talking about something that I think is really, really important, and that's blood donation. And with me today, I have a friend visiting me that works for a local blood center, and her name is Christine, and she's going to be here to help me spread the word about how important blood donation is every day of the year, but particularly during times that blood supplies are low, which is the holidays and summertime. And so I invited her here today to help me get that word out to you guys.
So welcome, Christine.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you're here today. So, well, let's start out with the basics, okay? What do I have to do? What's the easiest thing way for me to do that?
Well, there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can obviously show up at one of our blood centers, or you can get on a mobile. And all you need to do that is a valid driver's license.
Okay. So I know that your mobile units are set up a lot of times in shopping centers and at colleges and at high schools and those kinds of things. And that's pretty much the case no matter where anybody's listening to this, right? Most blood units have mobile units and people can find them pretty easily, right?
Absolutely. And they can always get online and type in their zip code and see where we're going to be.
That's awesome. Okay, so say I want to come and donate blood. What are the limitations? If I'm on a birth control pill or, I always hear kind of misinformation out there about who can donate it and who can't. So kind of what are the limitations?
To be honest, more people can donate than think that they can. Now, there are several things that will prevent you from donating blood. Obviously, if you have an infectious blood disease of some sort, you cannot donate blood. There are certain medications that will prevent you from donating blood, but there's only about a handful of those. The majority of people on medications can donate. there's certain things, for instance, like tattoos. If you have a fresh tattoo, you would not be able to donate blood. It has to be 1 year old.
Okay, so but if it's over a year, if it's 5 years old, because a lot of times I know students on campus, they'll walk by and go, oh, I can't donate, I've got a tattoo, and I know they've had that tattoo for 5 years or 6 years, you know.
Right.
So that's definitely not something that stops them.
No, absolutely.
Another question I hear a lot of times is back to the medication, because I think a lot of people think, oh, well, I had the flu 6 weeks ago, so I probably can't donate blood. But if the virus has cleared itself or if they're not on antibiotics, then they're okay to donate, right?
Absolutely.
And if you're on the birth control pill, that doesn't affect donating ever, right?
Not at all.
So I think those are definitely the most common questions that we get. I do know there's a thing about being out of the country. What's that?
It actually depends on where you've been. Depending on what country, what city, you really have to get on a blood mobile or visit a donor center because they will have to look up each one of those individually.
Okay. So, but it doesn't always preclude me just because I was visiting somewhere, you know. And especially if I visited, somewhere 5 or 6 years ago. So we're talking more immediate travel in most cases, right?
Exactly.
Okay, because I think that's a big thing. And the other really big question before we just start talking about how you donate, I know another really big question, I hear people, because we have such a fear in our country about getting stuff, that a lot of times people are afraid they could get something by donating blood.
It's absolutely not possible to get any kind of infection or disease from giving blood. Everything has been, it's absolutely brand new. Nothing is ever reused. Everything is cleaned and they have no worries.
Exactly.
No worries. It's all sanitary.
So there is another question, of course, that goes along with that. And obviously in my world of working in infectious disease and HIV and sexually transmitted diseases, and that is the potential for getting something from a blood transfusion. And I'm not quite sure if this statistic is still right, but I know for many years the Red Cross statistic was that 1 in 400,000 pints of blood is contaminated with some sort of bloodborne pathogen, that they feel like they get 99%, you know, is caught through the screening process, and very rarely does something skip through. Is that still pretty?
You know, I have not heard that statistic at all.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Not a problem. I'm sure that statistic is still really accurate. You know, the screening process you go through is really thorough when you donate blood.
Absolutely.
Not only do you ask a lot of questions, and we really obviously need people to be honest when they answer those questions,
absolutely,
but then the blood is tested as well.
Yes.
And it's tested for blood-borne pathogens and those kinds of things.
Yes.
So that window period, which is very, very small,
right,
accounts for once in a while something slipping through. But I think absolutely if we look at 1 in 400,000 or 1 in 500,000, you know, if you're in a car accident and you're bleeding to death, the last thing you're going to be worried about is, could I, you know, has something maybe skipped through this screening process, right?
Right. And to be honest, I haven't heard of anything like that happening in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So that is, if that even occurs anymore, it's very rare.
Yeah. I think, you know, a couple of years ago we had a really serious case, and it happened in the Tampa Hillsboro area, and you know, it actually involved organ donation and some other stuff. But I think that kind of scared people again, you know, and I still know that question happens almost every class I talk in. People want to know if they can get something, mm-hmm, you know, from blood. So people have no worries. You have no worries donating. You're not going to get anything. So when somebody donates a pint of blood, does that really, because I know we talk about you can save a life, can it really save a life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The majority of the people who need blood are not only accident victims and people who are requiring surgeries, but cancer patients, you know, these people require blood transfusions almost daily in some cases, so they can go through a lot of blood.
Well, and I can speak to that personally. First off, nothing is easy in my life. Everybody that knows me knows my life is complicated, so I happen to be AB negative, and when I was going through my cancer and stuff a number of years ago, at one point I was getting a blood transfusion almost every week. And I can't imagine. I've tried to think before we started this today just how many pints of blood I probably used, and I have no idea. I mean, a lot of blood, because sometimes I need it more than one unit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly wouldn't have been alive if those people hadn't have volunteered to go donate that blood. Obviously, there are certain times of the year that the blood supply gets less than desirable. Like we see on the TV and hear on the radio that it's at critical levels. So what times of year are the most critical for you guys?
The absolute most critical is during the summer in this area, because we do have a lot of people who come down here seasonally. A lot of people from up north come down here, and while they're here, they're gracious enough to donate blood while they're here, and of course they donate when they go back home. But when they leave and the schools close, it really puts a big dent in our donors.
You know, I really hadn't thought about that. I always think about the holidays, because mm-hmm, I know people don't give because they're thinking about other
sure
things. But the summer, especially in areas where we depend a lot on snowbirds for the rest of our economy, that
mm-hmm
makes sense.
Yep.
And schools, because like at Florida Southern,
mm-hmm,
I know you guys come twice a semester, so that's four times a year. And I know we give you a lot of blood from just Florida Southern College. So I can imagine when you can't do the high schools and the other colleges and those kinds of things, that it must really put a dent in it.
Absolutely. And I've heard that the schools alone supply about 20% of our blood need. So that's a huge percentage.
That is a huge percentage. 20% of all the blood need. And I think I want students to hear when we say that, because I obviously have a lot of young folks that listen to me, is think of just how many lives that is, you know, and it takes you less than an hour to donate a pint of blood, to get there, do the paperwork, sign up, get on a bus, you know, and give something that really can make a big difference. And for those of you in high school listening, and in college as well, it a lot of times counts as community service hours. So if you've got to find a reason to do it, maybe it's because you can get credit for that for your school. And I know you guys and all the other blood service networks and stuff give away free things when people come as incentives and all that. But sometimes maybe that community service hour they get is a big incentive for some of our kids that are listening. So I would definitely want them to think about that. So the process when they do come, because I think that's another thing, is a lot of times people think it takes a really long time. So what is the process when they come?
Well, typically it takes 30 to 45 minutes. And of course that's going to change depending on whether or not we're really busy. And we hope that we are really busy, so we hope it does take you a little longer, to be honest. But really all you have to do is present your ID. They're going to verify your personal information, your address and such, and they're going to give you a form where you need to answer a series of about 50 questions, honestly. And the reason you have to do that every time is because some things may have changed, not only on the form, but in your personal life. So that's the reason why they do require that every time that you donate. Once you're done with that form, they're going to take you into a room and do your history, check your vitals, your blood pressure, your iron counts, your pulse, your temperature, and make sure that you are, you know, healthy to donate. Once all of that clears, then you will begin your donation process.
And I know on campuses a lot of times that girls, their iron levels are low.
Mm-hmm.
So they get told once your iron is low, and they think that means they can never donate again. That's something that changes almost daily, right?
Exactly.
So you could eat a good meal even and come back and that be different. So that's not a reason to never try again for sure.
Absolutely not.
So I really appreciate you being here, Christine. Is there anything else that you think folks need to know?
I just want to remind everybody that every time that you get on a blood mobile or visit a donor center, it's like you're saving three lives. You know, maybe not every unit of blood goes and gets split and is divided into three people, but a lot of times it is. And if you think of it that way, every person that gets on a bus is three lives times three lives times three lives. It really makes an impact when you think about it, when you really think about it. So
it really makes a huge difference. I really appreciate you being here today. I know that some of you that are my listeners are going to tweet me and Facebook me, and you're going to have stuff to say that I had a blood donation program. And sometimes that's going to be negative. And for most of you, you're going to be from the gay community. And I understand where you're coming from. I absolutely know that you're upset that you can't donate blood. And I hear that a lot in my classes. I get emails about it. And I want you to understand that I don't support that. I think that everybody, your sexual preference should not affect that you have the ability to donate blood. But it doesn't change the fact that we need the blood supply to be as full as it can be all of the time. And so even if you're upset with me and you want to tweet me that upsetness, or you want to Facebook it to me, or you want to email it to me, I'll pass it on to the powers that be so that each time you speak up, then maybe that gets relooked at and thought about in a different way. But this is about the greater good for the whole population. So I really want to say thank you to Christine for being here. I hope if you're listening to this that you'll consider finding a blood drive near you, especially during the holidays and during the summer when the blood supply is really short. They're out. They're all over the place, so you don't have to look hard to find them to be able to donate. So if you want to get in touch with the show, on Twitter, it's Straight Talk Pod. On Facebook, it's Kathy Robinson Pickett. By email, it's straighttalkwithkathy@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Shoot me ideas that you have about new shows or upcoming shows, things that you want to talk about. I'm always looking for new ideas. And until next week, be the boss of your brain.